Well, welcome to the next lesson in the series, Living by Faith. In our last lesson, lesson 6, we were discussing the faith process. And that lesson took a bit longer than we thought, and it was necessary just to conclude halfway through. So this is now lesson 6, part 2. We were talking about what I like to call the faith process. We had been talking about faith in general, how we develop our faith in general. But the issue arises when you and I face a particular challenge in life. And as we said in the last lesson, if we understand it correctly, when those challenges come, they are nothing more than an opportunity to develop our faith. Remember, the Word of God says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it's wonderful to understand and realize that any problem you and I might encounter, if we can learn to release our faith onto that situation, God guarantees us victory in every situation. Hallelujah. But you see, we need to know how to go about it. And that is what this lesson is all about. In part 1, we spoke about this faith process. And we mentioned that the starting point is and always will be the Word of God. Specifically, a specific promise that we find in the Word of God that pertains to the issue we are facing. Be it a health issue, financial issue, protection issue, human relations issue, whatever issue you and I face in life, there's a promise God's placed in His Word. Our job is to find that promise for ourselves. Cannot stress that enough. It's no good having heard somebody speak of it. We must discover the promise for ourselves. The Bible says, by these promises, we can enjoy eternal life. We have to use them. That's the whole point. So we discover the promise that relates to our particular situation. And we don't just stick it up on the fridge and say, oh, well, that's the promise. God is going to now do it. No. We have to act on that promise. The first step to take is to make a quality decision, as we said. If you and I have seen the promise in the Bible, we need to make a decision, a quality decision, that that promise is going to manifest in our lives. If we do not make a decisive effort, we do not exercise our will definitively. In other words, draw the battle lines, the devil will very easily, after a short period of time, push you and I off that promise. Having found the promise, step number 2 is to decide on it. I will see healing in my life. I will see God's prosperity in my life, etc. However, having made that decision, the groundwork is set, but now the real work has to begin. The next step is to renew the mind. And you see, that's where the promise comes in. We continually bombard our mind with what God has promised. Our mouth is very important in this regard, and we will be talking about it in more detail in the next lesson. But you see, our minds have been thinking a certain way. For example, you might have been born into poverty. Your parents might be poverty stricken. Their parents might have also been poverty stricken. It would be so easy to accept in your mind that poverty is your lot in life. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, you see. God's promised us abundant prosperity. If you want to change the circumstance, or we want to change the circumstance, we have to get hold of that promise, as I said, for ourselves, and start to change the way we think. Every time the thought comes that you are born into poverty and will stay with it, we take out the promise of God. And we hammer the devil over the head with that promise until, and here's the miracle that takes place, which is spoken of in Romans 10, 1 and 2. Suddenly, if we continue in this wise, if we have the courage, the stickability to continue in this wise, the moment does come where that metamorphosis takes place and our mind grasps the truth of God and we realize, yes, God wants me to be prosperous. We don't have to continually convince ourselves of this written fact. Now, when this metamorphosis takes place, that's still not the end of the battle. And the next step is really the most critical one of all. You see, it's all very well having faith in our hearts, etc. But that faith has got to translate into the world that we live. And the way that it does that is when you and I step out and act on our faith. There must come a moment in time where we act on our faith. Let's look at James 2:14-20. James 2:14-20. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God? You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You see, the point is, there must come a time where we are convinced of the truth of God to the extent that we are able to step out and do that necessary act of faith, which initiates the power of God into a situation. Every time when the Lord dealt with people, he required of them some form of an action, a word, a statement that would initiate their faith. Right? Now, if we never have the guts to step out in what we believe, the whole exercise will be stillborn and futile. We can so easily fall into the very real danger of never growing. You see, if we are not prepared to step out, just like a baby, if it's not prepared to step out, take those few faltering steps, even though it may fall, if the child never does that, it will never learn to walk. There's that scripture we often speak about, 2 Timothy 3:7. It speaks about foolish women, and I don't think it's confined to women by any means, but it speaks about them ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. You see, until we step out and put actions to our thoughts, to our words, to our faith, that faith is stillborn. You think of a person who might know everything there is to know about being saved. They might know from Genesis to Revelation the doctrine of salvation and how a human being can become a child of God. They might know it theologically, theoretically, etc. However, until that person, whoever it may be, is prepared to bow the knee to the Lord Yeshua, confess him as Lord, in other words, take the necessary steps, he remains unsaved. You see? It's like a car. A motor vehicle has petrol in it, and it's got spark plugs. That petrol is available, but until those spark plugs ignite the petrol, it will not produce any power. Although the power is latent within it, it will not produce the power to drive the car. The same with your and my faith. We have to step out at some stage. Now, the point is that we have to be very wise about stepping out. And this, I think, is where many people have got this faith message wrong. You see, in every situation, what is required, the action required, is different. You and I work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to realize something. Every one of us is at a different level in our faith walk. Now, the key here is when you and I step out in faith, we need to match our action with the level of our faith. Can you see that? We need to match our action with where our faith is at, realizing that faith grows. Let's take, for example, somebody who has a medical condition and they are on a regimen of pills, right? Life-sustaining medication. Now, supposing that person comes to the place where they realize that God's promise is enough and they do not need those pills to survive. All right, that is the truth. God has made us in such a way that we're able to live without any artificial assistance. However, here's the danger. Having come to that conclusion, if that person were to just automatically throw their pills away, they could quite conceivably die. Can you see? It would be better to believe for the right level of action, you see. We have to trust God to show us the right action for us to take at our faith level. There have been cases where people have such a great revelation of God's ability to preserve them, they've thrown away their pills and survived and been very healthy. There have been, on the other hand, occasions where people have made that choice and unwisely, not understanding these principles, prematurely acted way beyond their faith level without any great revelation and subsequently died. So you see, there's a lot of options that you and I need to consider in all these things. And what we need to have is a word from the Lord for us. I'll give an example in this whole scenario of taking pills. Perhaps the first step for a person who wants to get rid of their pills, as it were, is to trust God, A, for the right doctors and the right medication. Amen. So if they are taking pills, at least the pills are doing the most good for them where they're at and inflicting the least amount of damage. Apparently, it's very important to balance a pill regimen with a person's constitution. All right. But now, assuming that we realize it's time to move on in our faith, perhaps the next step would be, the Lord says, instead of throwing away your pills, when you take your pills, also take God's medicine, you see, which is the word of God. So you take one pill and you confess the word. Can you see that? Take another pill, you confess the word. That might be another step. Then there might come a place where the Lord says, okay, you're taking 5 series of pills, you can do away with one. You understand? And gradually wean yourself off them. That's an option. But you see, that's got to be decided between you and God. The principle is we can be free of it. Wisdom is about how you and I, as individuals, move from where we are into the fulfillment of God's promise. You see, and very closely related to this, and something I continue to repeat and repeat and repeat ad nauseum, is the fact that you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You see, many Christians have never been taught how to hear God's voice for themselves. And if this is the case, to be very honest, there's very little hope of developing our faith. True faith can never ever, I'll say this again and again, never ever be separated from our personal relationship with God. You see, if we remember, as we spoke earlier, that faith comes, erchamaz, from hearing in the continuous tense and hearing from the word of God, we realize that this speaks of an ongoing hearing. A hearing that is born out of relationship. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Can you see that? We might know technically that we can do without pills, but we need to hear the Master's voice step by step, leading us into that place. You see? Let me just say this. If faith comes from hearing the word of God, it's one thing to read the word generally and find that promise in the word of God. It's another thing when we hear the Lord personally speak those words to us. That brings with it tremendous amount of faith. For example, you might say, this is a way of demonstrating it. You see in the Bible, by stripes you were healed, generally. Now that can help you and I develop our faith. But when in our prayer time, we hear the Lord say, Graham, my stripes were sufficient to heal you. You see, when we actually hear that for ourselves from Him, coming out of our relationship with Him, that boosts our faith to such an extent that you can throw away your pills. You understand? So it's very important, and I don't want to undermine this whole faith process by neglecting to mention that it will not work without a relationship. You see, there is a difference in the Greek language which describes words. You see, one is logos, that's the word in general. The other word is rhema, that's a word in particular. Now you see, although God is saying he will never depart from the letter or spirit of what he has already said, the application of one situation to another may vary. You see, it's very important to hear God speak to us when we are approaching these things. We need to walk hand in hand with him, and then we can be assured of victory. The next point I need to just add is that closely related with this is being connected with the body of Christ. Can I just say this, that when you and I step out in a faith adventure, a faith battle, it can be a very lonely place, especially when you are confronted with big decisions like, do I throw away my wheelchair, or do I launch out in this venture, or whatever. You see, and although we must hear God for ourselves, can I just say that when you and I are under pressure, it makes it sometimes difficult to hear God because of all the different voices that are flooding our minds. In this respect, it's of great value to have relationship with people in the body of Christ who understand these things and who know us well. You see? And when faced with a great decision, a life-threatening decision, it is of great help to have somebody who we trust, who understands these things. Please, not just any random person. Somebody who understands this faith process, understands what we are going through, to bounce our decision off. You see, in this whole pill saga, for example, you might say, I know I need to move forward. I'm not too sure. I feel in my spirit that I'm ready to reduce these pills. Let me just speak to the pastor of the church. Or let me speak to my cell group leader or somebody who understands these things and ask them to pray about it. And ask them to just find out from God whether it's time to move on. You see. And what should actually happen is you have a peace about it. The person or persons that you are praying with, they all have a peace about it. You see, God guides us collectively by putting a peace in our heart. And you see, if somebody says, no, I don't have a peace about it yet, maybe that's God saying, hold on, you see. We don't bear the whole responsibility on our own, which can be very daunting. So please understand this. Faith is a collective operation. We need to belong to a collective community of believers, believing believers, you see, people that will encourage us, understand that we're not being foolish, wanting to be set free from reliance on artificial means, etc., are for us and want to see us win, you see. And then God collectively can speak to us and we can all come to the place where we have a consensus agreement, and then we know, okay, time to move forward. You see, and that can give us great confidence. So when the challenges do come, and come they will, we're able to go through. All right, so that's a great thing to remember. A few final points about this faith process. Please note something. There's another Christian virtue very closely associated with faith, and that is patience. James 1 verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The thing about the faith process is it's not just smash and grab. I hope we grasp this understanding. It's not just something that we just get quickly. It's a process. We might step out in something and have a battle with it for a time. You see, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Can you see that? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Just because you and I necessarily step out in something doesn't mean that flash bang and suddenly happens. Sometimes it does, But that's not always the case. In all of this, there is a stickability that is required. After all, it is a fight of faith. Faith grows when we continuously choose to believe, speak, and act on the word, regardless of how we feel or what external circumstances might indicate. Victory belongs to the brave and to those who are consistently working at it, but it's worth the battle. 1 Peter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Yeshua. The next thing I just need to add is that we mustn't be deterred by setbacks that you might encounter along the way. It's part of the deal. You think of Peter stepping out of the boat. It worked for a while and then his fear kicked in. We're going to talk about that in more detail, you see. But even though, and this is an important thing to grasp, even though he encountered a setback, he was, after all, the only one of the disciples who actually walked on water. But more importantly than that, let's just read Matthew 14, 30 to 31. A very important understanding here. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Notice this. And immediately, Yeshua stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said to him, you little faith, why did you doubt? I can just sense a chuckle in his heart, a chuckle in his voice. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? But the point is, he stretched out and caught him. You see, when you and I step out in faith, we risk all, and even though it might look like it's not going the way it should, remember something. The Lord is smiling upon us, and he's always there to catch us. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't that a wonderful source of comfort? Underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord Yeshua, thank you for this time of your word. I pray that it will bless us as we go our ways. Thank you that it will accomplish that for which it was sent. And thank you that your blood covers all of us as we attempt to serve you better and better. May our faith grow, and may we have the courage to let this faith process, as it were, take us through all the challenges that we face in life, that we might come through victorious. In your wonderful name. Amen.